And he's funny. Time for the show.
Sometimes faith can feel as cold as winter, and it can look as dark as winter, too. I grew up in the cold in Wisconsin, so I understand being physically cold. But I also understand being spiritually cold, feeling distant from God because of depression, because of sickness, because of friends dying. I feel distance from God often, and I used to fight those feelings, but now I embrace them, and I sit with them. Winter Faith has become my new home. So I created the Winter Faith podcast, because sometimes faith feels like winter.
Tell me your name and a little bit about yourself. We'll do that to start.
Okay. So my name is Blanche Schuhart. I'm a professional fitness coach. I specialize in pregnancy and postpartum, so the whole perinatal season. I also have a huge passion for sustainable fitness and so strength focused, and I love in women specific. So I will train men, but like I will focus towards women. So
yeah, that's, I mean, I think there's such a need. And what are some of the messages that you see about women's fitness, mm-hmm. about pregnancy, just message in general to women that you're like, okay, I disagree with that, and yeah. I'm going to offer something different. I have an idea too, but I just want to hear it from you.
Yeah. Pretty much any message towards women's fitness, I feel like I will tend to disagree with. I have like kind of three pillars in my business, and it's mindset, mobility, and movement. And so with that mindset portion, this is where it's highlighted. We definitely are not like go hard, go home, or like the, but did you die, or even like aesthetically focused. And so I'm more focused on, I mean, so the name of my business is Rooted Strength. And so I'm more focused on building a strength that will outlast the fads, right? That will outlast the quick fixes or the things that are more shallowly driven. And so it's like, well, I just want to look good for summer, but then winter comes. And so where's that motivation, and where's the strength, you know? My whole concept is really giving women and empowering them through education, specifically in fitness, on building strength in both their body and mind. And so it's very much like we're going to be taking small steps, and we're going to be laying that foundation so that we're moving well, not just like today, but then like 10 years from now. And I think one of the other key concepts is that time is on our side. I think a lot of times in the fitness industry, time is used as this scarcity resource of like, we have to get it, like the 6-week challenge or 21 day fix or like whatever, where we're trying to shove like the most transformation in like a small amount of time, when that just doesn't happen. And if it does happen, it's not sustainable. So however you get there is going to be how you have to maintain it. So these challenges, when the people, you know, you see coaches shoving like 6 different habits on the clients and getting them to do all of them at the same time for 6 weeks, it's like, yeah, that might be sustainable for 6 weeks, but we don't have the skills to sustain that. And so, so I think that's a huge shift as well, is that I am more in the terms of like, to really see the strength that you want to see is going to take 6 to 12 months. And the beautiful thing is that time is on our side. As we continue to progress, time is working for us, right? We are getting stronger as we continue to do these things, versus, you know, a 6-week challenge. Go ahead.
Well, like just, I mean, I love that idea, the idea that time is on our side. And also you talk about like mind and body. I think one of the things that's most interesting to me is that you're saying like mind and body are connected and they're important. And I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit more about like your own, you know, journey of how you've learned that, or maybe you're still learning that, and what you want to pass on about. I feel like that's a key component that I don't always hear when it comes to strength training, and or when it comes to the other side, when it comes to like mental health, that's not necessarily talking about combining mind and body.
Yeah. So I definitely think when you think of health in general, my definition is mental, emotional, physical, spiritual, and social well-being. So it is very holistic, right? And so it's not just, oh, I have a six pack, I'm healthy. You can be very unhealthy and have a six pack. And so sharing a little bit about my story, I was always fit, like into fitness. I was always really like athletic. I did sports in high school, loved to work out in college. It was never for like deeper reasons than wanting to look good. And so there is a situation in my life where I encountered a lot of sexual trauma, and that kind of threw like all of my motivation for fitness out the window, because I no longer wanted eyes on me. Like I wanted to like go, I wanted to blend in, I wanted to hide. And so I didn't have a motivation to pursue health. And so after a lot of healing and, you know, like pressing into that, getting some healing and having redemption in fitness, I slowly started to like, re-enter the space in a different mindset of like, I want to pursue health. So what does that look like? And so I started working out, but then this kind of merged with me getting pregnant for the first time. So like, as I was trying to like reclaim my health and fitness, I like get pregnant. So like, I only know it in terms of that. Yeah. And it was wild because like in pregnancy and postpartum, you like don't have, you can really like ignore your limitations in any other season. But like in pregnancy, it's like, no, like you have to be mindful and honor the limitations on the body. Right.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I don't care what my mind's saying, this is what my body's saying. And I have to like, listen to it. So that was like the first thing, but then also through my second pregnancy specific, I'll like highlight this portion. My first one, we'll just say that I didn't know what I didn't know, and fear influenced my fitness a lot because I didn't want to hurt the baby. There was a lot of outdated messaging around like what you could or could not do. In my second one, I wanted to like, fear still influenced my fitness, but it looked like it was on the opposite side of the spectrum. So I essentially, worked out all the time, and I didn't want to lose my fitness that I had gained. And so I fear is still influencing it though, because I wasn't trusting the process and just letting this journey guide me. Right. So long story short, have the baby. It was a very hard postpartum, and this is where it kind of comes into that mental health piece. Right. So instead of, I was essentially like making fitness be like my counselor and my best friend and like all of the things, when in reality, it's not a counselor. Like it's not your best friend. It's a way to pursue health and to gain strength and vitality and energy. And if I'm, you know, encountering postpartum depression, or if I'm having mentally a really hard time because my son is colicky and I'm not sleeping, and my body physiologically is loaded because of the lack of recovery and the increase in stress, and then I'm adding more stress because of fitness, because that's what it is, like you're stressing your body intentionally, then it's not a recipe that's sustainable. And I see that in the postpartum time period is women who are highly, like their capacity is very limited and they have a low margin, working themselves into the ground because there's this stigma of having your body back or whatever, or if they're having a hard time with newborn, instead of processing that and having a safe place to talk through it, they just go to the gym and deadlift and like try to like put up a bunch of reps and ignore it, but it's still going to be there at the end of the day. And right. So really kind of trying to merge those and give space for all of that in that season, and know that each journey is very specific and unique. How you recover from birth is unique. How you transition back into fitness is unique. You cannot compare it to anybody else. So, I don't know if that answers your question, but for me,
absolutely. Absolutely. Go ahead. Sorry.
Oh, no. Yeah. So I just had to it was a longer lesson for me because I basically didn't process, and I was encountering postpartum depression from about 2 months to 10 months. And I was overtraining. I was depleted physically and I was emotionally exhausted, and it was not a good place. I was not in a good place, but I was still working out 5 days a week, an hour long. On the outside, it would look like I was very healthy, but on the inside, there was not health. There was not health being promoted. So then I get pregnant with my third, and I love him. He was a surprise. We were not wanting to get pregnant. And my whole world just crashed down. At that point, I was with pregnancy, my body couldn't sustain the workouts that were keeping me above water and being kind of like a smoke screen to health. Mm-hmm. And I was forced to deal with all of the mindset stuff that I hadn't dealt with in a year. And it was really hard. My first trimester with my third was really, really hard. It's a huge part of my story and why I do what I do and where I am today. So.
Well, I mean, it's just so good. It's so needed. I know that you have a podcast. I know you do coaching.
Yeah.
Physically and mental health coaching as well, I believe. Yeah.
So I'm not a mental health professional. I make that clear with my clients. I recommend them to counselors and therapists all the time. I will kind of have mindset coaching. So that's how I'll phrase it with them. So I am 100% pro working with a team of people to surround clients. So a lot of that can look like working with a mental health professional or working with a physical therapist. So things like that.
Yeah, no, I just think the messages. So I have, I have little kids in my world and, my wife's had two kids and just to be on where I'm at and just the body shaming that's out there or the weird social media Instagram world of that's not real life. And I think we should we'll sit down, I'll edit this, but we'll sit down and maybe have more time another time too. I'm really sorry about the scheduling stuff. I guess one of a question for today is what is the message, if you could do the counseling thing for a minute, it's the message to younger girls, the message to the younger you, the message to 7-year-old girls out there that are going to be on Instagram in a few years or whatever it's going to be called in a few years.
Oh man. That's, I feel a loaded question.
It is. We can come back to that.
I feel I want to think about that one.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I just think it's so important to and I'm doing this too. I've just did this whole intensive where it's all about connecting the body and the mind and how disembodied I am, if that's a word. I think that's the word. Yeah. From a male perspective, I can do some things that women can't do. I can ignore my body in ways that I don't think women can do.
Yeah.
And so, from a young age, I feel women are more aware of their body and they have to be. It's not even really a choice.
Yeah.
And so,
interesting. Cause I will say one thing coming from being a survivor of sexual trauma, I'm still learning how it's affected me. I'm an Enneagram 8, so I actually detach quite a bit and I can be pushing through things and then wake up one day and be oh, I'm actually super stressed and never dealt with this. And now I need to process some of these things. And so denial and detachment can be like a strong coping mechanism. With that said, I have found that sometimes when you practice becoming just like in your body, present in the moment, it's often why I loved fitness so much, because it kind of forces you to like be aware and like be here, if you're doing it well. And I have found that it can feel almost like hard to be in my body. And so survivors of, you know, sexual trauma, or even just like if they have chronic illness, it can feel hard to be in their body because their body doesn't feel like home. And so it's like this fine line of like detachment can serve you for a season. We eventually want to be able to be in our body and be home, you know, and like be connected. But I like to offer that disclaimer specifically for either people with chronic illnesses and or survivors of sexual trauma, because there's been violence like inflicted on their body and they're having to process and grieve that. And so I think that was one of the reasons why it was so difficult for me, and just like continuing to like give honor and grace and patience towards this physical body, I think has been super helpful. So.
Thanks for listening to this show today, everybody. I just want to give a few shout outs. Today's music, the one and only Josh Cleveland. Today's artwork and all the Winter Faith artwork and digital design, Dominique Montaigne. The intro was done by Scarlet Fox. And I am just grateful to be creating and editing this podcast. My name is Andy Frazier. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at The Winter Faith Podcast. Subscribe on all those platforms. And also we are on Patreon if you would like to support the show. And also leave a review on iTunes at The Winter Faith Podcast. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.